Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, two down, one to go here. Portland sports leader, don't you forget it. If you missed any of the previous hours, we had Alex Brink on at 11:15. You can check those out on the podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app. If you missed Josh Pate this morning on the Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Spray, you can check that out. I believe he was on at 8 o'clock. So you can get that wherever you get your podcasts. And I believe the boys are back together in primetime tonight, and that's where we'll go. Coming up after us is Duck Insider from 1 to 2. And then we'll have the happy hour with Luke Anderson from 2 to 3. And then the boys are back here.
For how long?
I don't know. The holidays are getting close.
It is Rotmas.
It is Rotmas.
The season of Rotmas.
We will be on the road this week. We are leaving. We will not be here on Thursday, but I think there's some fill-ins coming in. I just don't have that confirmed, so I don't want to say anything that might not be true. As Danny and I will be traveling to Baltimore by USAA and covering the Army-Navy game, we'll do a show live on Friday from out there. We'll sprinkle in some fun nuggies. Danny did just read me the guest list he's trying to put together, mm-hmm. and it's
a banger.
It's a banger.
And there's potential for others that we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Whether or not they'll be available in time slots. We're going to try and maybe pre-record with one or two.
There's a chance we get a guy who has a statue.
Yeah.
You know, like, that could be really fun.
And look, I'll tease this, and hopefully it works. We had General Gillen on last year, who was the superintendent of West Point. I have never, ever in my life wanted to run through a wall for a man more than him.
That's awesome.
One of the baddest dudes on the face of the planet. When we got off air, I just sat there and talked to that guy for as long as I humanly possible.
I'll let you do that this year. I'll just be at the bar when you're ready.
Dude, he's a 3-star general who has been a commander all over Special Forces.
That's rad.
And you watch how cadets talk to him and look to him and how he treats them. Like, that is...
That's respect.
Like, being in the military, like, they're all... And I told this to him off air. I have been around a lot of generals in my time. Most of them I did not like. Because when you get to be a general, there is a political process that goes through that. He is one of the realest humans I have ever come across. And like, when it comes to leadership, that, to me, this guy is the leader of... This is the alpha of leaders. There is no person in my life that I would want to follow, especially in wartime, than that man. And when you talk to him, you get it real quick.
So buckle up for a great Friday show from us in Baltimore, as we will be at Army-Navy this coming weekend, and we will drink the Kool-Aid and keep you guys all updated and all the fun stuff going on there. A lot to get to this hour. We'll chat a little bit of Blazers. We've got... I wrote here, the end of a Hall of Fame career might have happened last night. But let's get right here. Kind of continuing this conversation we've had all day about the College Football Playoff Committee. Look, something we really haven't talked about, and honestly, I think it's a good thing that we haven't really got to yet, is your Oregon Ducks, Danny. They sit really pretty in this. The idea of getting a G5 team at home on Saturday night is about as best as this could have drawn up. Oregon opened at a 22.5 point favorite over James Madison. That's come down a little bit to 21. If you're talking from a betting standpoint, I have no desire to touch that spread in any way, shape, or form. But if I'm an Oregon fan, and I'm not, but I do follow the team closely, and we talk about them a lot, I love this matchup for them. I think it's a great get-right game in the sense of get yourself ready and get yourself loose, a build-up game to get you to go on potentially a playoff run. And then you, in theory, I hate to say this because I don't want to disparage them, but in theory, you get the easier team in the quarterfinals before you take on a big boy in a semi.
I can tell you a couple things. Number one, they're not Ohio State.
They're not Ohio State.
So you got that going for you.
You get that going for you.
You don't have the bye, which I think a lot of teams last year were kind of like, well, maybe that wasn't necessarily a good thing because you get a lot of time off.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of coming back and being around, now you get a bit, you know, I don't want to call JMU a warm-up game, but they're a bit of a warm-up game.
Yeah, I know. I heard Dirt and Sprague kind of talk about it too. I know we try not to, like, I don't want to disparage this team. Football is real football, you know, and I get it. But, dude, this is not an exciting game. There's no juice in this game for me whatsoever. I expect Oregon to go out there, handle their business, and, you know, and we'll talk to Tyson on Wednesday about this and all next week leading up to the game, too. This is exactly where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that starters are out of the game by the third quarter.
And you've got, you won't cover.
And you've got reps in for all your guys. What if DeCorian Moore is good to go and can get out there and get some real game time?
And then put him on the shelf for next week.
Yeah, and then doesn't have to get his first game back against a Texas Tech whose defense is nasty.
Yes, they want to kill you.
So, like, and I start to wonder, like, dude, the fifth seed has got to be the best place to be. It has to be.
You get the warm-up game, quote-unquote. You get the lowest of the teams, which is probably going to be a group of five team. They did the thing where, you know, they did move a group of five team up to 11. What if, and again, what if the committee, the rules change? Let's say Tulane, let's use this example this year. I'm going to morph this all around. I know it's not reality, but I'm just using this as an example. Let's say Tulane went through this season undefeated and Darian Mensah and Mekhi Hughes didn't leave.
Right.
And that Tulane team is loaded.
And they
go to 11, and Notre Dame is 12.
Yeah. Then you're like, damn it. I would have rather had that. And now you got Notre Dame.
That's the concern if you're the five team.
Oh, is that G6 team every once in a while is going, like, to be a dominant
team? This team went 13-0 through the American Conference, and they did it beating – because it's going to happen.
And they had, like, a preseason game at, let's say, at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Or at a Texas A&M.
Week one, they go up there and they upset somebody who ends up being a top 10 team in the country. And you're like, well.
It's the Florida State-Bama situation.
Yes, but instead they go 13-0. And they win the American Conference. And there's six NFL dudes on that roster.
But what I would say is that is, it's kind of like when you talk about, you know, if you're an Oregon State or a Washington State fan, you have a chance four or five years going to have a cycle where you will have an opportunity to be that G5 team, G6 team.
Yes.
And for that mode, for what you're saying, that's only going to happen every 5 or 6 years. So for the most part, you're in good shape. I mean, Ole Miss is probably like, dope, we'll take Tulane. Mm-hmm. We already beat them by 40. Your reward is Georgia, a team that already beat you. And that stinks.
But my point being there, like, I think you're right. The 5 seed is the one that you do want pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a year where, you know, a group of five, group of six team, whatever it is really good. And you're like, we're not going to put them 12. Like, they need to be higher up. Like, we can't. Like, they have to be at minimum 11. So now all of a sudden, let's say take this year. So let's say, you know, your options would be some version or some group, one of these three teams, Notre Dame, BYU, or Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there, Oregon, whoever the number five team is, you're like, what do you mean? It's like, sure, the blue bloodiness of Notre Dame, BYU, Texas is better for sure. It's like we talked about with Boise State, like them getting the nod last year. But what if the Tulane of the world that season is legitimately good? And I'm not, and again, this is not going to happen. Like, let's take a Boise State team that beat Oklahoma in an era where you couldn't do what you do now.
No. That Chris Peterson team
was really good. There were a lot of NFL dudes.
But still had no business beating that Oklahoma team.
But everybody knew that team was really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like,
They were in a Fiesta Bowl. You don't put Boise State, you don't put G6 teams in Fiesta Bowls, Sugar Bowls.
Unless you've seen them and you watch them and you go, they've earned this.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, let's just say it happens once every 10 years. Let's just kind of throw that out because it is rare. But you get into that world and now all of a sudden, if you're Oregon, do you want to play the up-and-coming team, the Boise State of the world? Or would you rather play a team that has a blemish on their record, like a Notre Dame, like a BYU, or a Texas?
Well, and you can just watch the Tech. You got two Texas Tech games against BYU to give you the blueprint on how to beat them. You don't think Lanning's licking his chops?
But you know what
that?
I mean, love? Like, five is generally the spot you want to be, but I'm waiting for that one year when something like that happens, and that's when we get to buckle up.
Text line telling me that Oregon James Madison should turn out Oregon versus Liberty all over again. I mean, it could be.
That's what I expect.
I imagine this game is going to be tough. I'll go out on a limb right now and say Dante Moore is not playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think that's probably
and maybe halfway through the third.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
James Madison's got a good defense. They've got a great defense.
And they've got a great program for what they are.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I wish my program were that program.
I mean, constantly in the top 25 every year?
Dude, yeah. They've had three coaches in the last 3 years, and they're in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of things had to break their way to go, but
it can be
they're
done.
Still in.
You get things in alignment, and you have things making sense. Your identity lines up. You can be there.
Sneak peek, Oregon, Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I like in that game.
Right now, I lean Tech.
Their defense is nasty. Mm-hmm.
Right now, I lean Tech.
I like the linebackers at Tech more than Oregon's, but I like the D-line at Oregon more.
I mean, even then.
Oh, I know.
Tech's got a dude, too.
Tech sends dudes. They love getting after the quarterback. I
mean, that's the reason they spend all that money.
I mean, Bear Bachmeyer, he had a very rough day.
He got bad intentions.
No, they had bad intentions for him. Yeah, I don't know. That's the game, because if you take a quick peek and have some fun, let's say chalk, all right? Oklahoma beats Alabama, they take on Indiana. Ole Miss beats Tulane, they take on Georgia. Texas A&M beats Miami, they take on Ohio State. Do we really think any of those teams are beating those? I don't.
Mm.
Can Oregon beat Tech? I do think so.
They can.
But will they? I don't know, dude. Tech is a weird, weird, fun team. We'll break them down tomorrow and get some more info on that. As the Ducks look ahead at James Madison on December 20th, 4:30 p.m. kick at Autzen. And like always, you can hear everything right here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan, the home of the Ducks. We'll have wall-to-wall pregame coverage of that leading up to the first playoff game being hosted at Autzen Stadium. When we come back, the Blazers played basketball over the weekend. 105.1, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Blazers played some basketball games over the weekend.
They did.
I seen it. boy, let's just get right into it. The YouTubes was talking about it a little bit ago. I was hoping that it was going to be Tiago's first ejection last night.
He was working on it.
He was hot. He was hot. And what is the deal with that? If you didn't watch the game last night, Yong Hon Sen started, was not great.
Had a really rough first half going up against Edie. Second half, he was much better.
And so there's a lot we can get into that too. But there is a moment when Zach Edie basically clotheslines Yong in the face
and wrecks him, and then Hansen falls back and wrecks his head on the floor.
And the refs don't call the foul, which would have been Edie's sixth, and don't even stop play with Yong on the ground. And Tiago was pissed. The broadcast was pissed.
Jason Benetti, who is obviously not the normal TV play-by-play guy, he was sitting in for Calabro. And by the way, when KC decides to hang it up, if the Blazers don't go after Benetti, they're out of their freaking minds. Benetti is like, this is not a shot at KC. KC's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, KC's the GOAT, dude.
Are you kidding me? KC's one of my favorite broadcasters of all time.
I grew up watching him do Sonics.
I mean, look, if you've listened to the broadcast, he's giving me crap. He dropped a line when they were playing Oklahoma City and OKC, and they have the big fat guy with the suspenders on, and he dropped a, what's Danny doing up there? Because KC's my guy. I love him to death. Yeah. He did this like three straight games, just like working it in there, just giving me hell. Love him to death. But if KC hangs it up here in the next couple of years, you could not ask for somebody better to replace him than Benetti. He is unbelievable. And without knowing this team that well and being in the throes of being a homer, absolutely shredded that ref crew. Called it an embarrassment.
The text line, I'm not one to blame refs for wins and losses, but it seems like they have been too involved in NBA games, and maybe not the outcome, but the flow of the game. Last night's Blazer game was an example.
It was one of the worst games I've ever seen, and as far as like game flow. And shout out Haberstroh. Tom Haberstroh had the stat that was the least experienced ref crew out there last night. It was the average experience last night was something like around like 40 years. The Blazers crew had 22, and I think like 15 of it belonged to Jason Goble. And there was probably a half dozen times where I saw each of those three refs last night get indignant about players or coaches like tell them they blew it, and they blew it.
Yeah.
There was a foul on Edie where it probably was a foul. It was on Jeremy Grant. It was a toss-up. Almost the exact same play on the other end. If you want to say Coward grabbed Yong's arm, fine. But it's the same kind of vein of call. And Isolo lost his mind. I was like, yeah, he probably has a right to be pretty pissed there. Like, if you're going to talk about consistency, Yong gets smacked. Denny got absolutely drilled.
And this feels like every single game now, Denny's just getting smacked around.
Not only that, Denny only had one trip to the free throw line. He had three free throws. He had one trip, and then he had another one on a technical foul.
That's not the Avdija I know. No. He's going getting nine trips a game.
That led to the ensuing possession was where Denny tripped Coward. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
well, you
Denny,
start, well, you're,
don't
you're,
do
your
that.
Your emotions start to get to you. It pisses you off after
Somebody
a while.
Somebody tweeted at me like, well, Denny, you know, like he tried to move out. No, he didn't.
No, he tripped him.
No, he tripped him. And like, Denny, don't do that.
I think to Texter and the YouTube chat's points and what you're talking about as well. This is why the NBA, this is why it's such a polarizing league for
bad
some fans.
Refs can kill you.
And
I'm not blaming the loss on the refs. The Blazers did not come with a record level of intensity.
No, they did not. Blazers had a lot of issues in the game.
But there was
Memphis.
A 20 free throw disparity. And I'm telling you right now, the Memphis Grizzlies weren't playing great defense without fouling.
No, but like the weird TV deals going down with some teams and the TNT situation and whatever the hell's going on in the Clippers situation, the Chauncey Billups situation, bad refereeing, superstar calls versus non-superstar calls,
etc. Not talking about the game.
Never are, dude. The NBA refuses to get out of their own GD way.
It's frustrating.
It's got to be. Like, this is why, you know, I'm only back into watching the league, the association, because I do this show with you now. You know, and I was totally fine. I mean, what's the phrase I use? I waxed poetically about how much I loved the NBA Finals last year and just the playoff run in general. There is a place for me to get back into basketball. It's my first love. Mm-hmm. Basketball is my first sport love. I grew up playing it, not very good, but it was the game I played. I didn't play baseball till later, but I loved basketball. Always have, always will. I watched Iowa State and Purdue this weekend. Iowa State is nasty. Okay. I watched Michigan State Duke. I thought Michigan State had Duke that whole game till they peed down their leg with shorts on. Like, I love basketball, but the NBA, like, this is what they're doing to me. And if you're going to do that now to the team specifically,
as the NBA turns,
that I'm so trying to watch and enjoy and be ready for this, dude, you're just turning me off. The soap opera stuff's fine. I like it.
John Morant coming off the bench and yapping at Denny.
What are you doing, bro?
Sit down you're and shut up,
you're lucky Denny didn't punch you.
God, it's just like, what are we doing
that
here?
Stuff doesn't bother me as much. But the bad officiating will end it for me. It really will.
I have said this for years. I mentioned it on the postgame show last night. I have been a proponent for burning the NBA referee union to the ground for a decade, starting from scratch.
Just fire everybody?
Not fire everybody, but like they just have too much control. There's not enough transparency. And the training and development, like, look, do we need more Dick Bavettas and Joey Crawford? No, but yes. You need refs that you can talk to. You need refs that know the game, that you know how they're going to consistently call a game. Look, the Blazers are not the only team that do this, but like pinned on the wall and the handouts in the game, like all the stuff they go through, in that are ref grades. Hey, don't yell at this guy. Hey, this guy's quick to call these. Hey, this guy calls these. Hey, this guy has a quicker whistle. Hey, this is somebody you can talk to. Like, that's a thing that happens.
What other sport has scouting reports for referees?
They all do. They all do.
Right, but that feels on a way higher.
The NBA has the most, probably because in the sense, like, you interact with them the most.
Exactly, because that their scouting report, now everybody's got them, right? I know this in the EPL. Yes. We know which refs we like and don't like. You know which umps in baseball you like and don't like. And I'm sure the NFL feels a little more even keeled on the dudes.
And we all hate glasses ref.
but and Pac-12 refs for life.
Well,
I know, I hate them all. But it feels like a scouting report for the referees is like a team scouting report and not just like, this guy doesn't call games or this guy calls a lot. No, it's like, this guy he loves TGI Fridays, so don't tell him you love Red Robin instead. Like, that's some soft,
look, man,
soft.
When I see Scott Foster on the referee report, I go,
here
we go, ref show.
Yep.
I see Zach Zarb on the list, I'm like, hey. Should be good tonight.
And baseball's no mystery on that.
No.
C.B. Buckner, oh, God.
You see Angel Hernandez.
Oh, God.
You're like,
oh.
Like, here we go. Like, that shouldn't be a thing.
No, it shouldn't. And the NBA has it worse than anybody else.
But as it pertains to the Blazers, they're 9-15 now. They're trying to weather the storm. They're completely and totally beat to hell. Did they come with a requisite level of intensity last night? No. It was their fourth game in seven nights. They played the most difficult schedule of any team in the NBA. If you look at like the advanced stats on them, when you look at their strength of schedule, you can break it up by offense and defense that they faced. They have faced the toughest defense the toughest offenses and the second toughest defenses.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule.
So their
it lightens
schedule
up, though.
They now, going forward, have the easiest schedule remaining in the NBA.
We'll make a run.
So like that part of it is like, okay, that's going to open some things up. But they played that game last night without their starting centers or their starting in-depth center or their starting in-depth guards.
Yeah, I was excited to see Young get a start, and I get it. You know, you're playing a team like Zach Edey. You need that size to try to see how you can stop him because Edey's been good. He's been solid. You know, I think a lot of people thought he was going to be a huge bust in the NBA, and he's turned into a nice little player. So you got to throw Young in there to kind of put some matchup on there.
And you know what? He was fine in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, he's not ready. It's clear, but yeah.
It's okay.
Do you wish we had Coward?
No.
He was a good player last night.
Yeah, no, he's a perfect. We had this discussion last night. Coward's 4 years older. And how does he get on the floor for this team? If this team's healthy, he's their fourth, fifth wing. Like, you going to play him over Shaden?
But that's that bench scoring we were talking about.
You're not getting bench scoring out of 14 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be on the ball.
That's
like, that's
true.
The thing. It's like, they traded away Desmond Bane. There is a big chasm for what could go in there.
Yeah.
You just re-signed Tumani and Shaden. And he's older than both of them. Actually, he's not older than Tumani. He's older than Shaden. So this whole idea of like, they could have had Coward. I'm like, sure, okay, he can have Chris Murray's minutes. Okay.
Chris Murray doesn't get enough minutes to really have an impact.
So, like, that's what I mean. Like, so this whole idea, like, oh, you should play him over Jeremy. And I'm like, no, Jeremy's better right now. So, like, what? you're talking about the future, but you're also talking about right now. It's like, no, you just like the new shiny thing. Just say that. That's fine.
I do like new shiny things.
But if you're if we revisit this in 4 years and Hansen isn't amounting to anything, then you can go, yeah, they probably should have gone the other way. But you can't sit there and make these snap judgments on any draft pick in the first 3 months of their careers.
Blazers will take on the Pelicans. What is that, Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got
to. I have a TV show to do from a hotel room.
I'm just going to pound on the door the whole time.
I'm just going to find whether or not I watch it on Blazer Vision or if I go find a sports bar that's really close by and then boogie on back to the hotel room.
At the Pelicans at a 5 p.m. tip on Thursday. We'll chat a little. There's something I want to bring up about the Rip City remix. We'll chat a little of that tomorrow. You want to do some Blazers tomorrow too?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? As this team continues to just try to figure it out. It's kind of putting Band-Aids on a lot of stuff, but sometimes that's just the war of attrition you go through in sports. When we come back, did we just see the end of a Hall of Famer last night on Sunday Night Football? I think we might have, but first we'll toss it to Casey with sports. You know, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Heavy college football show today. I promise we'll get to some more NFL tomorrow. But I had this thought in my head, Danny, last night watching Sunday Night Football, which, you know, if you look at the score 20-10, you're like, ugh. Not a very fun game. It was actually a fun game to watch.
It was.
Back to your point that you have been hammered on, dude. You have two things since we've started this show that I can't, and it kills me, that I can't give you enough credit for. It's that Indiana might be the best team in the nation in college football, and the Texans' defense is nasty. Yep. And they were really fun last night. Patrick Mahomes, his first game ever not throwing a touchdown. Or scoring a touchdown in some form.
Under 50% and three picks. It's the worst game of his career.
It's the worst game of his career. Now, a lot of that is that the Texans' defense is very good.
It's filthy.
We've seen this every single week of them doing nasty and nasty stuff. That hit on Rashee Rice, I thought they killed him. So there's a lot of this is the Texans being good. Mahomes was bad. Andy Reid taking a lot of the blame for the fourth down situations in the fourth quarter. But the biggest thing that I couldn't take my eyes off was in watching that game was Travis Kelce.
Mm.
Travis Kelce had a chance to catch a ball and make a first down and keep the Chiefs in it and give them a shot to win the game. Because once they start rolling like that, I don't care how bad Mahomes has played all game. If you give them an opportunity to score and go ahead or tie the game at the end, my money sits on Patrick Mahomes a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Kelce alligators a ball.
And Al Shaher says, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I looked at that and I said, oh, no. And my wife looks at me and she's like, what? I go, I think I just watched the end of Travis Kelce. When he went back to the bench, Collinsworth even said it on the broadcast. When he went back to the bench, he sat down by himself, looked up in the sky, had a huge exhale, shook his head, and almost looked like he was going to cry. And I said, that moment, he's done. He's done. That's it.
You know, every player has that kind of moment. Like, his brother had mm-hmm. that moment where when he was talking about, like, thinking about if he wanted to come back, and he was like, no.
When you know, you know.
You know, we've had players retire this year, you know, during the season.
And
you try to talk yourself into it, and it's just a realization that it's over.
And I don't know if... I don't know if Travis is saying to himself, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know if that's there.
Or if it's, I can't.
That's what I think it was. It's like, oh my God, I just cost my team this game. I am not playing well. He had one catch for 8 yards, 5 targets, and one of them was an interception at the worst possible time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's looking at himself going, this is a bad, bad look.
Well, here's the thing. I think you're right to an extent. We're like 90% of the way there. But you know who makes you want to not play football?
Hmm.
The Houston Texans.
That is true. I was saying this before that that hit on Rashee Rice, I was shocked that he popped up as fast as he mm-hmm. did. But he better, otherwise he's out for the next 2 weeks. If he lied there on the ground, everybody would be like, yep, yeah, that boy concussed.
He's dead.
Yep. And he popped right up. And that's part of it. I know it's so easy to kind of sit here and make this about the Chiefs, you know, are the Chiefs done, blah, blah, blah. Mahomes saying, you know, we're making it harder on ourselves to get to the playoffs, and they still believe they're going to make the playoffs When in the reality, dude, the story of this whole thing is the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about poor Daniel Jones tomorrow. But this AFC thing has opened wide for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston has shown they can beat some really good teams. They've beat the Chiefs. They've beat the Bills.
The Colts.
The Colts.
The Jags.
The Seahawks.
No, they lost.
Oh, no, they lost. They lost them. They beat the Niners. But, I mean, like, even in games like the Broncos, they lost to the Broncos 18-15.
They lost to the Rams 14-9.
The Jags 17-10.
They lost to the Bucks 20-19 when they were still healthy.
And the Bucks were healthy. Like, the door is opening.
Their worst loss on the season, point-wise, is to the Seahawks 27-19 in Seattle.
They are 8-5. They get the Cardinals at home. Then they get the Raiders at home. Then they're on the road at the Chargers. We'll see the Chargers tonight. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll see what they kind of life still they still have.
And then you see what's left of the Colts
and then
because
They might pack it in by then.
Well, I mean, it's already apparently over because with Jones's injury and now Riley Leonard is not able to go, it's going to be ripping.
Oh, dude, that's not a good thing.
Yep.
I've seen Brett Rippon.
Yep.
All right, his old man was a Coug.
So.
And
then it ain't Mark coming out there.
No. It ain't Super Bowl MVP. By the way, does anybody know how many Huskies are Super Bowl MVPs?
Mm.
The answer is zero. Mm. Just throwing that out there.
Just wanted to, for you know, state for the record.
Well, I'm spicy today, so I got to pick on somebody.
Who won the first one in Seattle?
Mm. Super Bowl?
Yeah, who won the MVP? Not the Malcolm Smith one, but wasn't it a receiver? Did Jermaine Kearse not get it, or am I wrong?
No, he did not get it.
Did?
Who won Super Bowl MVP the first year Seattle won it?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Click, 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 click. It's Malcolm Smith.
Malcolm.
Oh, yeah, because he got the interception.
Yeah, well, not the Malcolm Smith one. Who got the other one?
They only won one.
I'm tripping then.
Hmm.
Dude, that just threw me through a loop, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost one because of Malcolm Butler.
I keep forgetting.
And then they lost to Big Ben.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, and Hines Ward was the MVP in the Steelers one. But that was before your time.
No, that was my time.
That happens. Long story short, the Texans are really good, and they have a very clear path. They're going to beat the crap out of the Cardinals. They're going to beat the crap out of the Raiders. They'll probably beat the Chargers, and they're going to beat the crap out of the Colts.
Yeah, man. And all don't
like who
look...
scares you on that? On the like, if you want to say the Chargers, the Texans having to go to LA, fine, I guess. But the Colts aren't going to have a quarterback
in the AFC. Who scares the Houston Texans? Nobody. The Broncos, they held them in a close game. They didn't play the Patriots. The Jags are a close game. That's division rivalry. What if they win the division?
I think if a team scares you, it's the Bills.
I think so, too. But, dude, that team's got problems, too.
Yeah, but offensively, Josh Allen is the guy.
And snow games are fun.
Good God.
Snow games are fun.
What he did.
Dude.
What? I mean, to be fair, what him and Joe did.
He's a bad man.
Those two guys put on a show this
weekend. Yeah, they did. That game was everything as advertised.
And
all right.
In the snow.
When we come back, closing arguments to send you on your way. Little Monday Night Football action tonight. We'll do that next. That's Danny. I'm Patrick, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll send you on your way. Closing Arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Monday Night Football game tonight. Eagles in L.A. to play the Chargers. This is it, dude. If the Eagles offense does this again, I'm out. I'm so out. I'm so hard out. I might already be out.
I think it's fair.
I don't know what to think about this game.
But also, if you told me they won a Super Bowl, I'd also believe you.
I know. It's too much talent. I'm going to watch tonight. I'm happily going to watch tonight. Nice little primetime game.
Yeah.
Last night, dude, we just talked about it. Like, okay, the final score doesn't look sexy, but that was an enjoyable primetime game. Bears and Packers, that was an enjoyable primetime game. Yeah.
Caleb, you just needed to throw the ball yard further. I know. Yard further. Yard further.
I'm such a Caleb hater. One of my good buddies is like, dude, you're an idiot. He just straight said that to me. I was like, you know, I don't think Caleb's
He missed
very
some
good.
Of the easy throws, but he made some insane throws.
Yeah, maybe we'll break that game down tomorrow or something, or just kind of looking at the NFC. Let's see.
Hell,
let's...
the NFC North.
J.J. McCarthy. I only throw for 165 yards, but I get three touchdowns. Yeah,
whatever.
503-864-6326. Kind of putting a bow on the college football playoffs. As I am kind of done talking about brackets and stuff until the games actually start going. The fix for the college football playoffs. Start a season a week earlier. Start 12-team playoff. Week after championship games. All home games until championship to be played on New Year's Day using one of the traditional bowls. Have remaining premier bowls filled with 13 to 20 or so. Play 31st and 1st leading up to the championship game to end the season. Selection process. Another problem. We have not solved that one. Thanks. And go Ducks. I don't have a problem with how it is right now. I think this is just an off year.
I don't have a problem with it, and I don't think it's an off year. I think this is what we're going to get.
Two G5s?
I think there'll
be more possibility than usual.
The flattening.
Yeah.
I think this may not be the standard, but I don't think it's going
to
be rare.
I don't ever expect the Big 10 or the SEC to do that, but I mean, dude, the Big 12 could have a bad year.
Mm-hmm. They could have a real bad year. Easily.
You know, what if BYU had another loss already on there?
And it wouldn't have mattered.
And they're still in and they lose again? Or they win?
Then what?
Then what happens? Because like that, you want to talk about what chaos would have happened is if BYU would have beat Texas Tech. If BYU beats Texas Tech, there's no Notre Dame or Miami probably.
Yeah, do you imagine if they put BYU in and two group of six teams?
BYU, Texas Tech, and two group of six?
Yeah.
You want to talk about people being pissed off. Hey, at least if you leave Notre Dame out, you leave Notre Dame and Miami out. Yeah, you're just like, sorry, guys. Sucks to suck.
Mm-hmm. Deal with it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And I don't know about the championship game conversation either. I'm just not there yet. I'm trying so hard with college football not to be so like knee-jerk reaction about everything at every moment. You know, not everything is broken. Okay. Is this a weird year? Yeah, it's a weird year. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's broken.
I don't think it's broken. I'm not sure where I fall in the conference championship. I just wish everybody played the same amount of conference games.
I wish that too. And I'm tired of big teams playing cupcakes 2 weeks to go in the season. Mm-hmm. You want to play cupcakes in the beginning? Go for it. Everybody does.
It's winning time.
Have you seen Penn State's schedule this year before they played Oregon? Mm-hmm. It is absolute and utter
Oregon's
garbage.
Schedule before they played Penn State.
That's true. I mean, I bet you when they set these games up, though, you know, Montana State, big time D2 school, Oklahoma State and Oregon State.
They didn't think they were going to be that bad.
I didn't think they thought Oklahoma State was going to be that bad.
But they weren't in a great shape.
But look, if people want to do this, do it. You know, somebody was screaming. I think Urban Meyer was screaming that Ohio State needs to drop Texas off their schedule next year and go get Kennesaw State. If you want to do that in the first 3 weeks, go for
it. Why? Why would you do that? You beat Texas, and that's what gave you the number one ranking all season because you didn't play anybody else.
They're scared to go to Texas and lose and see what happened to Texas this year happened to them. Don't lose three games.
Yeah. Also, Herb, shut up.
That is true. Nobody asked you. No. But there is a world in the SEC. I think they have shown that two losses.
We could have Herb Myers as a guest at Army-Navy, by the way.
Could we?
Yeah.
I'll talk to Herb.
I mean, he'd be fun to talk to.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I love talking to sociopaths.
But I think we have also learned some other things. Like, two losses doesn't guarantee you in the playoff from the SEC.
What this almost gets me to that question of, and I hate to end this show on this question, but what if you would see it beating Oregon?
I don't. You said the opposite. You thought Oregon still goes in. Yeah. I don't know if they do.
Judging with where they landed, are you going to put Oregon in over, or are you going to put Alabama in over Oregon?
I think so, because it's the SEC. You know,
you're going to put two Group of Five teams over Oregon.
They have shown. Do you think if Vanderbilt goes to the SEC title game and gets blown out by Georgia the way Bama did, do you think Vanderbilt gets in? I don't. I think it's the Bama rule.
Well, I guess here's the thing is that, yeah.
And that might be a part of what's broken. Sure, yeah. I'll give you that. That might be the Bama rule.
I guess I wasn't thinking because if USC had beaten Oregon, USC would be in, which would mean there would be one less spot.
If Oklahoma has a third loss from the SEC title game, if Vanderbilt has a third loss from the SEC title game, they're both out.
Yeah.
They're both out. It's probably just a Bama rule. And so be it, if that's what it is.
Yeah, because they can't have that. They can't not have them.
And that's probably what pisses off Notre Dame, is that they're like, wait a sec, our program's on the level of Alabama. And it's like, no, it ain't.
I mean, it is, though.
Is it?
Recently, yeah.
Like, the last 3 years.
Yeah, but also historically.
Sure. I'll give you the last 3 years and the last 40 years, but not the last 10.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a scary place to live in to say that something is broken because 1 year it didn't turn out the way you wanted it.
I kind of wish we would have gotten the all chaos.
BYU win?
BYU, like all of the wins. Like,
oh, BYU wins, Alabama wins?
Like Notre Dame beating A&M, USC beating Notre Dame, Oregon losing the second, USC getting the win. That's to give USC another loss, like just like throw in, they lost to Illinois. Just say that they lose to Michigan. Just like,
sure.
Just basically the
Michigan beats Ohio State.
Just like, yeah, the all chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to see what would have happened.
I think we kind of had that last year.
To an extent, yeah.
You know?
To an extent.
Because the Big Ten title game, you know, Oregon like puts up a huge fight against Penn State, you know, but Boise State gets a bye, mm-hmm. and Arizona State creates chaos, and why is Tennessee in the playoff?
I like the idea of chaos, but I also earlier in the show said give me chalk in the semifinals.
Well, because there's just two ways to kind of approach it, you know. Mm-hmm. New information gathers new thoughts.
I mean, look, Indiana, Texas Tech, and Ohio State, Georgia, like
Final Four would be amazing.
That doesn't sound good to anybody else. I know it would be Indiana Tech, and but yeah, just like, you know what I mean, like.
And if you swapped Oregon for Texas Tech, mm-hmm. I'm still in.
I just don't.
I mean, three Big Ten teams would be tough.
Yeah, it's also the rematch stuff. I'm just like,
it's so funny. It's so funny. Are you happier as a Duck fan that you get Indiana before you get Ohio State?
Because mm-hmm.
I've seen that game and it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm. And we just saw what Indiana did to Ohio State.
Because, you know, I felt like a lot of Duck fans were like, no, I just keep me away from Ohio State. Keep me away from Ohio State. And
I don't think you want to play Indiana again.
I don't think you do either.
So.
Heisman-doza. Well, there's a lot to get to on the show tomorrow. Let's see. What do we got here? Seahawks looking like the complete team, maybe? Question mark. The kiss from Mike Tomlin. Got to get to Daniel Downs as well. Talk a little more Army-Navy as well. The NFC. Texas Tech being a sleeping giant. What else do we got? Ooh, it's a free consultation Tuesday. So that's always fun.
And we only have two more shows this week. Here.
Here. And then
Friday show.
Take this show on the road.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Road tripping.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We hope you all have a great day, except for you, Brian Kelly. If you missed it, we had Alex Brink on 11:15 to break down the Wazoo situation that's going on up there. What about
Jimmy Rogers? Can he have a great day?
No, Jimmy Rogers cannot. You are dead to me. First hour is a lot of college football. A lot of college football today. Like I said, we'll get to some more NFL tomorrow. Hope you all have a great day. For Danny Morang, that's Casey Smith on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. We'll do something I would do.
Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.